Today, we're going to talk about the church and the beauty of the church and how grateful we are for one another. And I pray that you will leave here today with a clear understanding of what God's called you to be and do, with God's call on your life for your ministry that he's called you to be about. And hopefully, by the end of the day, if I've done my work well, and the Lord obviously does his work because he's God and he does his thing, you'll be on fire in a good way, obviously. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for All Villages. Thank you for what you're doing in our hearts, in our lives. Lord, you are so kind to us. You're so generous to us. Now, there are days, there are weeks that maybe we don't feel it, and yet you are good. Sometimes in spite of our circumstances, you are faithful. And we pray, Lord, that in this time, we truly would understand what you've called us to be and do. Give us your focus. Help us to have clarity of mind. Help us to really be open, pliable even, like clay, moldable and shapeable. Whatever we were struggling when we came in, Lord, help us to just let it go now at your feet. So that we may be the people you've called us to be. We pray this in your name. Amen. Jumping into a text known as the Great Commission. It's in Matthew chapter 28. Jesus has just risen from the dead. He's taught his disciples several more lessons. He has been with them, encouraging them, and helping them understand that he's not going to be here forever in this way. He's not going to lead that same way before, but now he's called his people to be his image bearers wherever they go, to continue the work that he started, that it didn't stop with him. It was just launched with him. It was confirmed in him. And then he says, now. So let's jump into it because he says it much better than me. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, that's a big word again, the English translation. It's like, this is the main point. Don't miss this. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. It's so important we understand how good God is. Now, this is the word of the Lord. But wait, there's more. Paul takes this and goes on a little further, and he says it like this. He's talking to a church that he helped plant, that he helped start. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Now, the reason we have that twice is let's not forget. This is not some person's creativity. This is not someone just kind of like, hey, this sounds good. Let's put this on a paper, and maybe some people might believe it. We believe God worked through people, that humanity is God's method for his mission. And in doing that, he invites us to be partners with him. Co-workers is another translation. Partners. That's a word that's so important for us as a church. We just received new covenant partners in our denomination. And again, it's a real, I know, ECO, a real covenant order of evangelical Presbyterians. It really just flows, right? Just right off the tongue. Easy to remember because everyone's been part of a covenant. Well, how about an order? We've all been, no, maybe not. You might understand, hey, I've been a Presbyterian. I went to a Presbyterian church. Okay, evangelical. Are they a little, okay, so we got all these things that are kind of going on there, a lot of baggage, but ECO was very intentional when they were formed back in 2012. said, we don't want to be a place where people just go to because they don't like another denomination. We don't want to be a place that people go to because they got no other place they can go. We want to be a place that is a movement, not a monument. That the church is best when it's on board with what God wants it to be and do. And so this covenant order of evangelical Presbyterians is something that's so much bigger than just a document, than just, okay, we need to believe in something, so here's some things. This is actually part of our polity, and that's a fancy word in the church. It means like how we govern ourselves. How do we order things? We believe every church shares the good. Oh, I just did it again. Okay, good. Every church shares the good news that Jesus is Lord of all. That there's no place where he hasn't said mine. Every area of your life, he says mine. And he says, share this with others because I love them and I want to help them where they're at. That means we're in community and for community. That none of us are meant to do it alone. That the church isn't a place we go to. Theologically, it's not possible. Theologically, the church is you and me. It's us. Whenever two or more are gathered, we're the church. So maybe you meet with a friend for coffee. Guess what? You're having church. Maybe you're running with a friend. You're having church. Maybe you're sitting on a couch watching a football game with a friend. You might not be having church, but still, you're having a good time. But we're in and for community. It's not just about a service on Sunday. Hey, we want to do it and do it well. But it's so much bigger than Sunday morning. It's about our whole lives. It's about humbling ourselves every single day and saying, Lord, not my will, your will. What do you want for my life? We believe at Eco Church, every church gathers again for worship, service, and community. That yes, we gather together as the gathered church, and guess what? Then we're sent out as the scattered church. We're still the church. That wherever we go, we are God's image bearers. He said, again, just to kind of be clear, not my words, but his words, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Go. At no point does he say, stop. Don't get me wrong. We're to rest in him. And sometimes we got to stop doing the things that we're just going crazy back and forth. We need to just be still before the Lord. But in that stillness, we're still called to go. We're still called to go and be, to let others know. Now, this word make disciples. Now, I know I'm totally at this point going to, some of you are like, ah, he's mentioned Greek now, and that's not why I came. I get it. Just understand, the word, sometimes, you know, we know words matter. That's why we chose Covenant Order of Evangelical Presbyterians. We wanted to be crystal clear who we were. Doesn't mean that we don't have to define that and explain that, but we wanted to be crystal clear. This is who we are. This is what binds us together. That word make disciples in the Greek, that word controls the entire sentence. That is the focus of the entire sentence, making disciples. That every church is called to make disciples. There are many places throughout this world where the church is persecuted. And guess what? That the church, when it's persecuted throughout world history, always flourishes. God does something special in those people. When you feel like you're the only one, guess what? Maybe God put you there to do something special. Maybe he put you there so he could birth a movement in that dark place. Make disciples. There are expectations in most of these countries where it's persecuted that every follower of Jesus has someone they're raising up, they're discipling, they're investing in. What would it look like if I was to call Mark Maron? Mark Maron, hey, you are here. Mark, come on up. Come on up. I told Mark I was calling him up here. I did, didn't I? Mark, are you a perfect person?
Absolutely not.
He said, absolutely not. Just in case you didn't hear it in the back. Does God call perfect people?
No.
No. Do you have a lot of work that God's got to do?
Yeah.
Okay, does that mean that God can't use you, though, to help others?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, right? It's about, what would it look like if every week when we got together, maybe it's over coffee, maybe it's up, well, I wouldn't do that to anyone else, but Mark, but maybe Steve still. But what would it look like if when we got together, we in our normal conversation, hey, how's your disciple going? How are they doing? Anything I can be praying for? What would that look like? What would it look like if Mark looks at me and goes, I haven't talk to my disciple in a week. I'd be like, okay, what are we going to do this week? We're going to work on it, right? So, yeah. Mark, give me a hug. I love you, man. Hey, give it up for Mark. Come in late and razz the pastor, I'll tell you. Moving right along. So again, every church shares the good news. Every church gathers for worship, service, and community. And every church makes disciples to be sent out. It's not just about us getting bigger. Don't get me wrong. Who doesn't enjoy the family getting larger? It's beautiful. It's wonderful. But what if it's not just about us? What if it's about all those family, all those community, all those people you live near, all those people you work with that don't have a clue that God so desperately loves them and wants them to know of his love? What would it look like if we understood that the church was so much more than just membership? We don't call them members, by the way. Another two words that we were very intentional. We call them covenant partners. Members, it almost implies like privileges. And when Jesus said, come follow me, he said, take up your cross. When Jesus said, come follow me, he says, you're gonna be on an adventure for sure. But it's so much bigger than just, oh, I'm a member of that. No, it's about, I'm a partner. God invites us to partner with what he's doing in this community. Not because we have it all together like Mark. Thank you for the one proof one person laughing. Okay. But because he is good. Now, here's a question that you might never considered or something to consider. What are the benefits of actually becoming a covenant partner? What is it? I mean, is there any benefit? Absolutely, there's benefits. Your position to receive encouragement, support, even accountability. Your position so that what the Lord wants to do in your life best happens in community. Why not put yourself in that situation? Your position to grow in Christian community together to become more like Christ, to understand that in Christian community we realize the fullness together of who Jesus is. We discover our unique place and how to serve him and serve with him, how to partner with him. Several weeks ago, we invited you to take a thing called an APEST assessment, apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher. It's on the computer. We give you a code. We follow you. If you can't do it, come to the church. We'll set up an appointment. We'll let you use a church computer. We'll help you through it. It's not hard. We've had several people that have taken us up on it, and they're discovering major things. Like, this makes perfect sense. This is why I do this. Oh, my goodness. I love this. We hope the rest of you will take us up on it. If you're interested, there's a little connect card in front of you sitting somewhere. Put your name and put APEST, and we will follow up with you this week. We'll touch base. We'll get you a code. You'll be set. Be ready to go. It's part of the church investment in you to help you discover that. Another benefit is we're both blessed, congregation and covenant partner, as we learn to do life together. It's about us learning to do life together. Now, one of the most important things is we learn that we belong to one another. That you and I belong to one another. It's a family. One of our elders, when we were meeting before the service, almost had trouble catching his words because he was just so excited. He was just, I remember when the Lord brought my wife and I here, and we've never looked back. I'm just so happy for our family. Those aren't just words he just thought of. He really believes them. They truly are true words. We're also for one another. That things happen. Guess what? Life happens. We're there. Sometimes we're there in prayer. Sometimes we're there physically, putting up shutters. Sometimes we're there helping you clean up after hurricane. Sometimes we're there because you need someone to talk with, and you need a process, and you need to try to figure out what's going on, and where's the Lord working, and how do I move forward? And that's good. That's good. Now, what are the expectations of being a covenant partner? I think that's a fair question. I think it's something that we need to really be clear on, because I've had people that said, you say you want us to be this member. And I said, it's kind of a partner thing, more than a member thing. You know, I try to start early with it. And they're like, well, no, we want to be members. It's, well, we kind of only have partners. But I get what you're saying. We'd love for you to be part of our. And their first question is this. At least the last year has been from people that have been curious and interested. They said, how much do we have to start giving? And I just start, I started laughing. I'm like, okay, let me be clear. You're not required to give a dime. They went, okay. And I'm like, I'm serious. There's no requirement. You have to give anything. What's the catch? I said, I mean, you can see it maybe as a catch, but let me be clear on this. I don't want you to give a dime until the Lord leads you to. See, the Lord doesn't need your money. He wants your heart. And he knows how our heart is really usually pretty close to our bank account. We feel much more secure in trust and faith in the Lord when that bank account's full. We're not so sure if the Lord really is paying attention when maybe we're looking for a job, or we're not sure about where rent's coming, or, oh my goodness, where'd this bill come from? Or did you see the stock market lately? No, we tend to put our faith more into those things. And the Lord's like, listen, I'm bigger than all of that. I made the whole universe. I can help you. So when they ask about money, I tell them, listen, full on. I'm serious, and I've said this from day one. And the finance team hates me when they say this. They do. They're always like, man. Yeah. It's not about that. But if the Lord calls you to give, you need to give. And I'm going to challenge you over time to challenge your faith, to grow in trust. There's nothing quicker to help you grow in your faith than when you give. It's amazing. It's amazing. When you see God do things, you're just like, how did he do? Moving on. Because his arithmetic doesn't work with our arithmetic. The whole focus of being a covenant partner is striving to be faithful to Christ. It's faithful to him in growing in mission, ministry, and stewardship. That we're invited, some of us are invited to take significant leadership roles that we serve, maybe as elders, maybe as deacons, maybe in various ministry teams. That as covenant partners, we get not only voice, but also vote. That you get to help guide where we feel the Lord is leading, partner with what the Lord's doing through voice and, again, vote. It's important for us to understand that there's going to be times when the Lord wants to do something special, and if we haven't said yes, we've missed it. Now, bringing it to a close, as I'm getting texts from Mike Leatherwood going, wrap it up, buddy. Okay, I know he means that in love. Making whole life disciples. That's really what this church is about, all villages. How can we help you in every area of your life to know that God has called you to be his witness, his image bearers wherever you go? I gave it to you before like this. If you're new, let me just break it down through some numbers. Now, again, not going to ask you to do any math. I'll do them all the math for you, so don't panic. Some of you hear math, you're like, 168 hours per week. Every person has it. Every person, unless you have a flux capacitor. Now, 168 hours, if we take out 48 of those hours for sleeping, now, I hope you get more, but we're just trying to keep it simple math here. We have 120 hours left. If you were to give 10 hours to the local church, that's service, that's Bible study, that's maybe a ministry here in our property, maybe with the school or with Manatee Academy, how we help with food, or maybe driving up to MFI or Real Life Children's Ranch, or so on. 10 hours combined, what would it look like if you were to give that? That would leave, wait for it, 110 hours for work, family, and leisure. Every one of us has 110 hours left. I want you to consider, what would it look like if you looked at those 110 hours and said, where's the most hours that God has me? Who are the most critical people I feel led to serve? That's known as your frontline ministry. God has called you to serve them and serve them well. If you're a teacher, guess what? I'll tell you what your frontline ministry already is. If you're a grandparent and you have any access to your grandchildren, guess what one of your frontline ministries is? Fill in the blank for you, where does God put you? Now, that doesn't mean you're perfect. We already covered that with Mark and me. It's not about knowing everything. It's about, well, one, beginning to pray. Lord, how can I serve here? How can I be a witness for you here? What do you want me to be about here? So the question is, are you ready? Are you ready for what God wants to do in you and through you? It's cute. It's okay. You can look. It's okay. Are you ready? And then last but not least, what's your next step? How can we as a church help partner with you? Because the big picture goal for us is, how can we be a flourishing church? Well, it's got flourishing disciples. It's you and I growing in faith and trust in the Lord and knowing that this service is about us being encouraged, gathered together to glorify God, then to be sent back out. That's not just about filling our cup so we can just keep having our own cup. It's about us filling our cup so we can drink and then give to others. I pray that you will really hear crystal clear. This church is not about a monument. This church is not about us. It's about what God wants to do in us and through us. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your calling. Thank you for your amazing work in our lives. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for calling us to be All Villages. We are so grateful for the Grove and Palm City. We're so grateful for Any River, for Christ Fellowship, for St. Bernadette. We're so grateful, Lord, for the work that you're doing in our community through your brother, through our brothers and sisters. But Lord, you called us to be a unique expression. And we pray, Lord, that we would be your hands and your feet, that we would be filled up by your Spirit to serve, to love. We pray, Lord, that you'd give us the courage we need to trust you, to lean on you. We thank you for our new covenant partners. We ask that you'd continue to bless them and fill them and help us as a church continue to just cheer them on in knowing you and following you and serving with you. But Lord, we, as other covenant partners here before you, we pray that you would fill us up again fresh and overflowing, that we would serve with a joy, with a passion, because you are good, because you are faithful. We pray for our country. We pray for our leaders. We pray for your world. We pray, Lord, that you would bring wisdom and favor upon them. We pray for humility upon them. Have mercy on us, Lord. May we be generous in helping others know of your love, of your joy. And Lord, we lift up all those who don't know you and pray that they would come to know of your Son in all his fullness. Lord, we pray especially for those who think they don't need him. They might need him the most. Lord, we remember how your Son taught his disciples to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen."